Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around the district and from further afield. Coming up later, Vanessa from Look St Albans explains why their charrette looking into the planning of an area of the town centre was so special. Now, since July last year, rainfall has been well below average, so much so that Affinity Water indicates that groundwater is very close to the level when restrictions could be put into place. And the first restriction is often for using water for watering the garden. Now, Earthworks is a charity garden which provides horticultural training for people with learning disabilities, and they've got a great plan to help them and their garden through future dry spells. I spoke to Steve Pike of Earthworks to find out more. Steve, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So, what's your plan to get Earthworks Garden through future dry spells?
Well, we've been embarking on a really big project down at the site to keep us going and keep us watering all our lovely plants and organic vegetables. We've sunk a huge 10,000 litre tank underneath our front lawn.
Wow. 10,000 litres? Crikey!
Yeah, it's quite enormous. I've got some fantastic photos of it going in, being lowered in by a JCB. It's a huge round thing. Not what I imagined it to be at all. It looks like a giant UFO is landing in the garden.
So this isn't a tank that's sitting up above ground. This is actually a sunken tank. So how will you get the water out of the tank?
So it's got quite a complex amount of stuff in it. I was surprised, there are pipes going everywhere. So there's filters for the water that goes in so it doesn't fill up with sludge. And to get the water out, we've got two methods of doing that. We've got a wonderful old-fashioned standpipe with a big handle on, which we've been having a lot of fun with already. So you can stand there and put your big bucket on it or your watering can. And our earthworkers have taken great delight in sort of manually pumping water up out of the ground that way.
Oh, right, okay. Sort of old village well type pumping things there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a big cast iron standpipe type thing.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of fun. And obviously, we have a lot of water butts down on the site already.
Yeah.
And the idea is that we can use this big reservoir to refill those.
Oh, I see.
Because we can fill our watering cans off of those quite easily.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have got a big electric pump in there as well, which we can use
to get the water into the water butts.
Yeah, we can connect that to a hosepipe and fill it up in a more modern way as well.
Okay, and where's the water coming from that's going into the tank?
So most of it will come from the rainfall that hits our building. So all the guttering that surrounds our lovely oak building.
Yeah.
Into a huge, we thought it was huge water butt.
Yeah.
It's about 1,000 litres, and as soon as that's full, it automatically then diverts down underground into the big tank.
Okay, so it's just the same as a water butt. It's just coming off the roof, the same as a water butt at home. So, how did you fund this project? It sounds like it might be quite expensive.
Yeah, I mean, we're very fortunate that we've been doing these sorts of projects for a long time. We have a lady who works for us part-time who fundraises. And this was actually funded the first part through a grant for £10,000. So that's put in all the work of putting this big tank in and all the plumbing that goes with it.
Right.
We're not quite there yet. We need a little bit more money because the proper plan is to have a nice sort of patio area on top of where the tank has gone in.
Right.
That would be much better for disabled access, and we can have a nice place to sit and drink our cups of tea in between the gardening work.
Okay. So when do you think it might be ready?
Well, being optimistic, we hope to finish it this summer.
Right.
We have got our open garden coming up in May, and it won't quite be ready by then.
Yeah.
We're going to build a display board with all the pictures of what's been happening so people can have a look and see all the work that's gone into it.
Right.
But our lawn won't be quite as pristine as it is most years.
Right. I'm not surprised being dug up and then having to be relayed. Excellent. So presumably this is going to save an awful lot of water from being taken out of taps then. Presumably, even though you've got all of your water butts, you had to resort to using tap water at some point. Have you any idea how much water you'll save?
Well, hopefully it will. We predict that hopefully we'll be more or less self-sufficient on the rainwater.
Yeah.
It's been challenging year on year also, because we found the rainfall's becoming more erratic, and we'd get periods of really intense rainfall where all the water butts were overflowing, followed by weeks and weeks with very little, and we've run out of all our water butts, and we're having very sadly to resort to the main by the hose pipe, which is
and,
a real shame.
Yes, and as you say, hopefully having this greatly increased water holding capacity will mean that you'll be able to make the most of those intermittent periods where we do have heavy rain, and then in times like this that are unusually dry, you'll be able to use them, keep, as you say, your lovely gardens, earthworks growing.
Yeah,
excellent.
Exactly. We've got lots and lots of thirsty vegetables, so we have to keep the water flowing. So it's going to make a big difference, I think.
Lovely. Steve, thank you very, very much indeed for joining us and telling us about that project.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
There I was talking to Steve Pike, who's from Earthworks, and he mentioned their forthcoming open day, their plant and garden sale, which is from 12 till 3:30 on the 20th of May. Now, there'll be cake, there'll be activities for all the family, there'll be herbs and plants to buy. You can see how the tank's going on. Oh, and did I mention it? There'll be cake. So what more could you ask for? That is on the 20th of May. And you can find information about that and other things about today's website on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website. Now, Look St Albans are a group dedicated to giving the community a voice on design. And in September last year, they ran a 3-day charrette, an event at which we were all invited to look at what might replace the area of the city centre near the Civic Centre that's up for redevelopment. Now, I spoke to Vanessa Gregory of Look St Albans to find out how it went and what has happened since. Vanessa, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So, were you pleased with how the charrette went?
Well, thank you very much, Amanda, for asking me to come in. And yes, I was absolutely thrilled to pieces. You know, I've often said since the charrette that if I could have bottled the atmosphere, I think I would, and then just get it out when I needed it, just to remember the sense of achievement, actually, and working together. It was a wonderful atmosphere, absolutely wonderful.
Okay, and what was this, the sort of corporation, the energy?
Yes, and yes, more of that. Yes, it really was a sense of people working together and genuinely wanting to have an outcome that there was the best for St Albans. And leaving a lasting legacy, quite frankly. Everybody felt that way, from the landowner to professionals, because everybody took pride in what they were doing.
And
want something from this generation that's going to be worth leaving.
So how many people came to the charrette then?
Well, about 166 signed in, but I think more people came along because they were so enthusiastic they didn't sign in.
Yeah.
And so if you take just that 166 people, and that is the planners, the professionals, the community, all together, all of those numbers come to that. And I think it worked out that something like over 1,000 hours of time people gave over that weekend, from the Friday night right the way through into the following weekend.
Which somewhere like St Albans, where we're pretty time poor, is a great commitment, isn't it?
That really is taking a heck of a lot of a commitment.
That is taking something seriously. Okay, so people came along. What kind of thing did you feel was important to them to get from this site?
Well, the developers and the landowners gave their vision of what they wanted to achieve on that site. For example, we want to bring back the library into a more central role, enhance the health centre, and perhaps move it so you've got combined with the health centre and a library. That was one option that was put forward and came out from the charrette. and enhance the Auburn Arena in some way or other as well. But both the design concepts that we came up with at the end of the weekend and came from the outcome of the design charrette were both what we would call landscape-led. So green is very important. Green walls, probably roof gardens and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, whilst currently the site has, it's got the odd mature tree. Actually, it's not green at all, is it?
It is not. And, you know, when we were talking especially about the health centre, for example, and of course there's a lot of it being talked about now, and quite rightly, about people's mental health. Mm. And you really need green, you need not just have concrete or
People's mental health, and also in a world that's getting hotter, and this being a city centre, just from the practicalities of keeping the place cool and pleasant to be. So
absolutely, another thing that we took into consideration is the need, as you were mentioning, about we're having more flash floods and things like that, is what they call sustainable urban drainage systems. In other words, that's to mitigate, so you can get rid of flood water slowly.
Yes. Soaking in locally rather than washing off and causing floods. That's fantastic. Okay, so you're thinking about green, about sustainable, about keeping a lot of these public functions and enhancing them. So what was the outcome then? You've got two plans here.
Yeah.
Two different suggestions. Just give us a little flavour of them.
Well, yes, you know, obviously I would very much encourage your listeners to have a look at our website, and that's www.luxandorbans.org, or lowercase. And you can see the two concepts there. And basically, aspects from these two concepts can be taken and developed. It's not an either-or option.
Right.
And it's such a huge site, we basically, on our tables, we worked on different areas.
Yeah.
And then it all came together. So it's quite interesting. There's obviously this provision for offices, and there is provision for retail, and there's provision for new homes.
Right.
And different types of new homes.
Okay.
All
of which we definitely need more of in St Albans. Yeah. So one of them's called the Samuel Ryder Promenade, and one of them is the Samuel Ryder Pavilion. What was the pavilion that you had in mind?
Well, the pavilion was to an extension to the side of the Auburn Arena, which was going to be covered in glass so you could sit there and eat and perhaps have performances or things like that.
It
was an idea.
Yeah.
But the lead facilitator, when she was preparing for this particular design charrette, she was did her research very well and was very struck by Samuel Ryder. Not in the golfing terms, but in the fact that, you know, his seed hall and producing seeds for everybody to be able to have their own patch of green and grow things, which we thought was very important to reintroduce into our city centre.
That's a great idea, sort of reflecting his vision of the world onto the centre of the city that he lived in. Fantastic. So will you be adding more trees? Can we look forward to things like green walls and roof gardens?
One hopes so, yes, because all these both the concepts and the elements from the concepts have to be taken away and tested by the landowners, developers and their team. And we're having the Lux and Albans, we're having our AGM on Monday the 5th of June at the Octagon at St Peter's Church at 7 o'clock, St Peter Street, where Angle, who own part of the site, the Hertfordshire House site, and the partnership who asked us in the first place to hold the design charrette, will be coming back and showing us their progress.
Right.
So I think that's a it's keeping engaged with the community throughout. So that's good.
Excellent. And there's still plenty of stages to go through before we can see any bricks being laid.
I think you can take that. It's red. Yes, there are many stages to go through.
Right. Okay. Now, the charrette has caused quite a stir in the sort of national planning circles. Why was it unusual?
I think because the community were the hosts. We're the ones that actually sort of bring it all together. We have the facilitators, naturally, who are independent and external, so they're neither to do with us or the landowner developer. They are there as the honours brokers.
Right.
And they're all highly professional and skilled in their own areas.
Yes.
Be it highway engineers or landscape architects, yeah, or architects.
But it was you as community representatives, yeah, who were at the forefront.
And also we have what we call our draft design codes. There's no big shakes about design codes. They're just like the DNA of St Albans City Centre.
Right.
It's illustrations with a little bit of text. And it's all to be seen on our website. It's very difficult to put it into words, right, rather than... It's much easier to see on our website.
Yeah, we get
so
that.
So do take a look.
Okay. Now, not only have you had, as I say, a bit of a stir nationally, coverage in the National Planning Journal, but also, look, St Albans is up for awards. Just give us a bit of info on that.
Yeah, it still takes my breath away, quite frankly. It's the Rural Town Planning Institute, which is the professional body for town planners. They have their Excellence in Planmaking Awards. And the three elements, look, St Albans, Angela Koch from Imagine Places, the lead facilitator, and the landowners and developers, we decided that, heck, what we've just achieved here in St Albans, you know, is quite unique.
Yeah.
And so we made a submission, and lo and behold, we have been shortlisted for this really prestigious award. The awards have been going for 40 years.
Right.
And quite frankly, to be shortlisted by Rural Town Planning Institute,
yes,
is quite some accolade in itself.
Wow.
So I think everybody that took part,
yes,
from people that came in and they were a bit nervous, saying, look, I don't really know anything about planning, come in,
yeah,
sit down, take part. From those people to the professionals to everybody, we should be so proud of our achievement.
Well, our congratulations to that.
Thank you.
And when will you hear whether you've won?
At a very nervous evening. I think it's the 15th of June, so it's after our AGM.
Yes.
We've got to keep the tension levels a little bit longer than that.
Indeed. Well, we'll be keeping our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Vanessa, thank you very much indeed for joining me. I was talking there to Vanessa from Look St Albans. Now you can find all the information from today's show on the Environment page of the Radio Verulam website, where you can also listen to the podcast. Next week we'll be hearing from Rothamsted about their Food for a New Generation. So until then, thank you for listening.